And welcome to Tales from the Pit, the behind the lens access to the entertainment world and the creative people involved. Today is our part two with guitar tech extraordinaire Tom Reardon. We hope you enjoy the show.
Let's talk about, you mentioned in this moment, which you and I just, were hanging out a couple weeks ago.
It sure were.
How did that come about? How do you get involved within this moment?
So, as we know, Brian, dear friend of mine, also Pop Evil alumni. So Brian had called me and said that, it was for some reason, however the plans align, for a while now, Brian has always called me about, stuff that's been going on within this moment. One time it was, oh, hey, we may need a truck driver. I know you can drive a truck. Are you available? Stuff like that. So it was always, which I always appreciate, touring family always looking out saying, hey, man, I don't know if you're available or not, but if you're home, I know it's not what you normally do, but you want to go out and do something different. Okay, cool. So somehow, some way, he would always call me with stuff. So throughout the course of time, one of my dear friends was their guitar technician for a long time. So both of them had actually called me around the same time asking if I wanted to come in and take over. I don't know the whole ins and the outs of it, but both of them were like, hey, my buddy was like, hey, would you be interested in taking over for me? And I was like, but you're their guitar technician, what? And he was like, nah, I think let me know. And then Brian called and was like, hey, so would you want to do that? And I was like, you know what? I mean, you guys are all friends of mine. So let's give it a go. Let's see what happens. And again, it so had happened to be, I was supposed to be out with them on the Slipknot Knot Fest tour with Ginger. Yep. So we all kind of had this connection and we're all, oh man, this is the first tour we all would have been able to do together as friends. And well, then that didn't happen. So it was a bunch of bummed out moments. And then all of a sudden this phone call came in and it was, hey, we got this run coming up in May. Why don't you come hang out? And I was like, okay, I guess I can come hang out. So, and then sure enough, I flew out and just a instant moment of everything kind of clicked into place. Those guys are just, how can I describe it? If you talk to yourself in a mirror ever, that was kind of our first impressions with each other. me and those guys, we have a lot in common, a lot of same fundamentals and, myself, Randy and Chris, our favorite bands are Kiss. So, sound checking Randy's guitar every day involved, playing, either a Motley Crue song or a Kiss song. And, so it was kind of, I guess you say the puzzle pieces all kind of fell into place. And, those guys have just got something real special going on with them. And, probably just some of the nicest people on the planet. Every one of them, just that entire band and crew are just, every person that's there is there for a reason. Yep. They all have such big hearts and it's not a, I love my job and, I've always, I hold myself to certain standards as far as being professional and everything else and, being well-mannered and whatnot. And you always kind of go, well, this is all times, whether, it's Roadie Friday or not, there's no letting your hair down or whatever. And these guys made it so that it was, you always felt very comfortable in your skin. Yeah. It's no sense. Everyone knows I'm sober. I don't drink or do anything like that. So, having like-minded people that are in the same boat, we'll have coffee with you at 1 o'clock in the morning. After you've loaded a trailer is pretty neat. That was definitely a first for me. Tours I've been on, it was always, Tom doesn't drink, let's get him Red Bulls or whatever. That's okay. He goes to bed early anyway. shirts, you know, stuff like that. So, but I mean, you know, these guys made it, you know, very comfortable for me in that situation. And I mean, going into the gig, they knew I, you know, I was sober. So being able to let right out of the rip, I mean, it was these guys. So how long you been sober for? You know, oh, you know, I'm going on 3 years. I'm like, cool, man. You know, I'm like 5 to 11 years sober. It's like, wait, what? You know,
nice.
And it's like, well, no kidding. All right. Well, fucking awesome. You know? So, I mean, they was definitely welcoming with big arms. You know, things that I'm
go ahead.
Yep, keep going. Yep. I think it's stuff like that, that I'm, you know, not that I'm saying I'm not used to that, but it was just so out of the gate. You know, it was kind of one of those, you know, they're like, so you were born and now you're here. What happened in between? You know, it was more than just a, you know, let's just be our guitar technician. Let's figure out who you are and let's be friends, you know, let's hang out. So, which is really neat, you know, especially to have that kind of relationship, you know, as a technician to your artist is kind of, you know, on that level is definitely a necessity. You know, the, like when I worked for Pop Evil, you know, Dave and I, you know, that's a man who I look at, that's my older brother. So you need to have kind of those relationships. And, you know, that was a relationship I had built over many years of working with Dave. I mean, ITM, these guys were, well, we already kind of know you. So let's know you a little bit better and let's hang out, you know? And so, I mean, it was just a great, it was a really well fit. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity to be part of their crew. So
yeah, they have such a major production too. And I was talking with Brian about the whole design and all that stuff that's involved. And Maria's got such a vision and she's got such an artistic, you know, sense about her, about everything. Mm-hmm. And everyone involved is just so creative and so, you know, like I said, some of the best of the best in the business. Yeah. And stuff like that. Now, when it comes to teching, you were guitar teching for them. Are you teching for both guitar players or just one?
I am teching for Randy, Chris, and Travis.
Oh, in the bass. Yeah. Okay.
So I am doing that. We had a couple of incidents on that tour, which I'm sure Brian talked to you about. So we had one of our key crew members get sick. And, I mean, Jessica, our stage manager, she's a badass. And Brian and I had to kind of step out of what our normal assigned roles were. And, you know, I had to take over for about a week of her being stage manager. So going from just being a guitar tech for that band to having to oversee that show with Brian was, it was a good time. You know, but it was, just as you said, I mean, it goes to show, you know, watching, going just from being the guy who keeping the guitars and the rigs and everything else in place to watching everything else happen and making sure things happened right. And again, Brian and I had to do this at the biggest show the band's done in their career in front of, I think it was 80,000 people at Rockville with pyrotechnics that they've never done before without our stage manager. So, you know, I mean, it just goes to show the elite status of that crew and everybody on that crew, how hard they work. You know, and these are people that, you know, every day wake up early and go out and do their job. And, you know, they aren't just the okayest at their job. You know, these people are the best at their job. And I've got to witness that firsthand. I mean, those people, just watching them do what they do. I mean, you know, the set carpenters, the light, the LDs and everything else, everyone's role is so critical into making that show happen. I mean, and honestly, I mean, you know, watching these guys go, I'm like, man, you know, you don't think of it in certain aspects of going, what, how important is that role until you watch it happen. You go, wow, without that one person, if that one person wasn't here, this whole show would be over, you know, right. And, watching how people can rise up, you know, during a time like that and come together and make this multi-million dollar production happen, you know, with people down. I mean, it just goes to show the pride that these people have in that show and that production and, you know, how everything is so tight knit together. I mean, that band and that crew is a family. And it's like going out with your best friend and you know all that person's quirks and what they do and when they're gonna do this or do that, you know, in real life. And then you work with that person, you go, all right, well, I know you're afraid of heights, so I'm gonna get on your shoulders. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, but I mean, you know, and Brian is very good at, reading the room, if you would. So Brian knows how to rally a crew and make things right. And kind of, let you take the reins a little bit and go, okay, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
But let's let you try to figure it out and let's see what you come up with, because, you know, you need to learn that. And, you know, Brian may not know the answer to something, but, you know, and if he does, he's going to, you know, he wants you to figure it out too. You know, that's how you grow as a crew guy.
Right.
So just watching him work and us bouncing ideas off of each other, how to make things happen and organizing that kind of chaos and whatnot, and overcoming that adversity of having such a critical crew member be out. Hopefully she's not watching, and I don't want to, boost her up or anything, but no, she's a bad, our stage manager, Jess, is a badass. So, without her, we would be pretty screwed. So,
yeah,
but
in the show, I mean, we were all together at the show, the last show of the tour in Portland, Maine, a few weeks ago. And, you know, as I was talking with you guys and Brian was just like, people drop off and then everyone's going to fill in and all that stuff. You gotta, I think you guys had to have a new lighting person or something. I forget who all the different people were.
Oh, yeah.
But I think at the end of the night, it was like after the last song, I mean, the show was perfect. Show went off. Everything sounded and was an amazing show. Great performance. And at the end of the night, I could just see everyone going, thank God. We did it.
You know, it was, goes to show you, people who had never maybe came to a show or had seen the show a million times, they never would have known that those shows were done without key people, involved as far as making the actual production happen. A lot of that's owed to how badass those crew members are and, why they are where they are. I got to live on a bus with these people and work next to them every day. I mean, by far, they are upright, most professional and know what they're doing. Or can be prove a point, plug and play.
Yep.
So there are guys that were, I've never stage managed on that level with that kind of a production. And, here's Brian and I, playing with pyrotechnics in front of, 100,000 people or whatever. And, that's pretty cool, and we're sitting there going, man, well, where's our stage manager is here to do this? That's really her job. And well, hopefully we're doing this right. it was great to be able to watch how a crew can rally up like that and really support one another. And, and it's okay to, get in the bus and have a freak out to yourself and go, oh man, what am I doing? And have people around you that, wholeheartedly support you and, have your back. So it was really cool to watch that happen with that kind of a crew. Especially, like I said, like you said, LDs, stage managers and everything else were like, well, okay, let's kind of pull a rabbit out of a hat today and let's make this happen. So, like I said, we're very fortunate that, that crew is badass like that, people are cross trained to do a bunch of different stuff. So,
and like I said, the show was flawless. If I had not had, had discussions with you guys, there would have been no knowledge of anything wrong whatsoever. It was the same show that we would expect,
Yeah. And that's why, I'll be honest with you. That's why I love my job. It's the people like that would come out to the show and, being a guy who's gone to concerts, and paid $45 to $200 a ticket to see my favorite band and something goes wrong. And I'm like, well, hell, I got to see Van Halen play with Gary Cherone and Gary Cherone couldn't sing. I paid a lot of money to see that show, what was it? Great Woods and Mansfield. And, they couldn't do the show. He got laryngitis. So it's like, well, what do you do?
It happens.
But at the same time you go, well, I still paid a lot of money to see that show. You know, you hope that you get there and, you know, at the end of the night, you get back to your car and you're like, man, that show kicked ass.
Yep.
You know, and it's nice to, you know, after you load your trailer or your truck, you can hear the fans talking outside, or right after the show, you run outside, you know, just to get some, you know, fresh air and wait for the room to clear out so you can start tearing down, and you hear the fans just, you know, that was the best show I've ever seen in my life. Or,
yep,
you know, this band just keeps getting better and better and better every time. And knowing that you had a part of that, you know, I've always said it, you know, like during the pandemic, I think one of the things that I missed the most was, when, you know, when I go out to do changeover, there's this energy that you get when the support band's backdrop falls down and our backdrop went up. Mm-hmm. And you could hear the crowd start screaming as you're dropping, putting pedal boards down for your guitar players. And you look up and these people are just, you know, chomping at the bit. And you can feel the energy in that room. That's something, you know, you can't get that anywhere else. It's really a magical feeling. And, you know, that's kind of over the pandemic. I was like, people are always asking, what did I miss the most? And I was like, you know, just that feeling when those lights go down, even right before, you know, the intro's about to roll and the lights go black and you hear that intro track rolling and the whole crowd is just up in arms. You know, it's like, all right, man, you know, that feeling, you feel that in your spine, man, you know, like, yep. And it's just like, and knowing that you're a part of that, you know, and the band members knowing that you're a part of that, you know, I've been very fortunate in my career to work with amazing bands and artists that, you know, have never been like, oh, this is, you know, our crew guys, you know what I mean? You know, they've always been, you know, without our crew, we're nothing kind of deal. And, you know, they've always included us like family. You know, and again, I mean, these are guys that are some of my best friends, you know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, the day I get married, I can tell you, I'm going to have a lot of friends at my wedding and a lot of these guys, you know, it's going to be organizing who's on tour and who's not kind of deal.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, but it's, things like that. I mean, it's just, that energy is just something you can't get that anywhere else. And it's just, it's an honor to be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you know, like I said, you're a part of an elite group. So that's really amazing. You do amazing work. The, speaking of the pandemic and stuff, I mean, when that hit, I mean, I think Pop Evil just dropped an album or just,
we were about
whatever
to.
It was. Yeah. Yeah.
You were about out. To.
Yeah.
So and, when the pandemic hit, so I was slated to do a Canadian run with a band called Santa Sonia.
Oh yeah.
Which is a super group. I mean, I'd done some work with them. We were slated to do this Canadian run. And, then I was supposed to have a little bit of time off. You know, when I'm home and I work in my guitar shop and I also play guitar in a cover band. So I knew something was up when this Canadian run, it was like, well, we're probably not going to do this Canadian run. We'll call you back in a few days. I think it's going to get canceled. Okay. All right. In the back of my mind, I was like, you know, Popula's got this record coming out. We're supposed to hit the road in May. It should be cleared up by now, you know? And yeah. then I had these gigs with my cover band that were booked and I was like, huh, well, these are getting kind of pushed out. All right. Something is definitely okay. Maybe this is something serious. Okay. Oh, now we're going to stop the world for, you know, 2 weeks. All right. We'll see what happens. Now then it's, oh, you know, this Canadian tour fully canceled. We don't know. We're going to reschedule it. You know, dates of my own band completely canceled. We don't know. We're going to reschedule it. And then, all right, well, now what? And at the time it was, if if you were a touring guy, you couldn't collect unemployment yet. The funds and stuff like that, you know, from Live Nation weren't available immediately to you unless you lost income during X time to X time, which made sense. You know, you had guys like on the Kiss crew or wherever.
Right.
These guys were overseas and were very lucky they even got back to the United States. So we're like, all right, you know, we still got Pop Evil coming up in May. We'll be all right. And then that tour got canceled. And that's when a lot of insight came in. And I was like, wow, you know, the whole world shut down. Well, you know, and and again, in my mind, I was like, I got into the touring industry because music's never going anywhere.
Right.
You know, this industry is never, there always will be live music. Who would have thunk? You know, I mean, so I was like, well, all right, you know, I can't collect unemployment. You know, they didn't have that yet. Well, what am I going to do? You know, fortunately, I had money saved. So I was like, well, I mean, I'll put some blast out on Facebook or whatever, you know, guitar technician available for, you know, drop off and pick up repairs, you know, full COVID policy, you know, you can come drop your guitar up at my house and I'll put on my suit or whatever I have to do it and sanitize it and whatnot. And fortunately, during the pandemic, everyone decided they were going to write some of the best music in the world at that time, which meant their guitars needed to get repaired. So the entire pandemic, I was very fortunate to have guitars being brought to me or mailed to me from all over the country and all over the world, and get set up or repaired and amplifiers and such. So I really got to hone my craft as far as doing, you know, major repairs during the pandemic. When normally I would never have had that time to really sit there and go, well, how do I do that? You know, what does this capacitor do? You know, why can't I use it this way? What do these arrows mean on it? So, you know, I guess I was very productive with the pandemic. And like I said, I was fortunate enough that I had enough people that trusted me and believed in me that I, you know, did good work that I could stay busy enough. So that's what I did the entire pandemic. And I just, I nerded out. I took everything that I could learn about a guitar or an amplifier. I mean, I got books all around down here and stuff that I just sat there and read as much as I could, studied as much as I could, talked to other skilled guitar technicians, you know, picked their brains on stuff. And, you know, I mean, and got to learn how to do stuff from some of these incredible technicians. You know, well, what would you do kind of thing, you know, and, you know, put that in my little arsenal of, you know, things to, you know, when something comes into my shop or on the road, if something broken, what can I do to fix it? I was, you know, like I said, I was lucky for that. And then coming out of the pandemic, you know, I brought a lot of that. And still, actually, it was when coming out of the pandemic, when the Pop Evil machine fired back up, I mean, because it was just from like all of us, you know, we went from having the red light real quick to the green light. When that green light hit, I mean, that was it. I mean, I think it was a matter of we got green lighted and Shelby had me on a plane, I think like a week and a half later. Yep. Flying out.
Yep.
So, and Shelby was very resourceful and lined up a bunch of guitar work for me when I got out to Michigan. So, I mean, I had about 3 weeks worth of work to do in about 2 weeks for people out in Michigan for them. And so thank you Shelby for that. But with that, you know, we were, this is where that story that I'm getting on to about what happened on tour. So yeah. With the things that I learned over the pandemic were, you know, again, how to make major structural repairs. It came into play perfectly. We were doing a show in, I believe, Georgia. And so, as we all know, Davey is a showman, and a great showman at that. So, Davey decided to start doing this thing with their brand new hit single, Breathe Again, where he does that pretty cool 80s guitar move where he slings his guitar. And, you know, the whole time we were all joking about it on the bus. We're like, you know, one of these days, man, you ever seen all the failed videos out on YouTube? And he was like, come on, guys, whatever. We're like, I don't know, man. He'd just start joking about it at that point. So we're like, man, Dave, you better be careful, man. You're going to manifest something, dude. You know, one of the strap locks is going to give out. He goes, you know what? We're not going to do strap locks. He goes, you know, Joey's got these carabiner hooks on his bass, like Van Halen style. So he goes, Tom, now let's throw them in. I went, you sure? He goes, yeah, man. You know, everyone says I'm manifesting all this bad stuff. So let's make sure those things, that guitar strap stays on. And I went, all right, man. So we put some carabiner hooks on a strap and a bass on the guitar. And I said, I was like, man, you know, like, let's, you know, maybe we hold off on doing this, you know, maybe we'll try a different strap. And he goes, nah, we'll be all right. So later that night, let's fast forward later that night, you know, I bring the guitar up to him. I was like, hey man, I just want you to check it out. Make sure, you know, the strap feels right. You know, you're not used to throwing the guitar like this. That's, yeah, I mean, I want to make sure it's good. Dave grabs a hold of that guitar and slings it all, you know, in the dressing room and looks at me and goes, man, she's ready to fly. All right. Infamous last words. You know, so keep this in mind. She's ready to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So now we go out. We're blistering through the set. We get to breathe again. And this part comes up. And, you know, David already kind of done one guitar spin during the song. We're like, all right, cool. We're good. Well, he does the big one. And that's a big break of the song. And he does this like karate, kung fu, kickflip guitar spin. And, ah, man, I'll tell you, it was like a flash of light went across the stage. I went, oh, you know, my jaw hit the floor. Immediately, I'm like, what was that? And Dave comes running off the stage. And he's got this like, you know, this look on his face. Like, you know, like when you really screw up when you're a kid in front of your friends and your mom catches you. And he just looks at me and goes, man, mom is going to be so mad at us. And I was like, what? And we're dying laughing. And I'm like, where's the guitar? And I look over and I'm getting ready to grab a backup guitar for him to play so he can finish the song. He's like, nah, I ain't worried about it. I'm not going back on that stage. Not even worried about it. And we're all looking around and we're like, man, that guitar, the strap, the actual strap broke in half. And not on any point where it was secured to the guitar, it ripped in half, halfway through. Something you normally would never expect to happen.
Right.
Well, so this guitar went flying around his shoulder. I mean, Dave works out, so he's got some muscle behind him. That guitar, I mean, I'll tell you, that guitar must have hit the wall doing about 200 miles an hour. I mean, missed Joey by inches, missed Haley's drum set by, you know, about that. Hit the wall about 200 miles an hour, and that neck snapped in half.
Oh, God.
You know, headstock and all, you know, I'm sure, like I said, if you go on my Instagram or whatever, so you can find a picture.
Yeah.
You can just cut away to it right here if you want. You know, but post editing, you can put the picture up of that. But to say the least, so Dave made a ton of funny reels on Instagram, you know, with the Sarah McLachlan song going behind it and me fixing his guitar. And ended up turning into a hotel room repair. And then because we tour so often, you know, we don't have a lot of days off. So this guitar had to sit pressure clamped, you know, on an angle with, you know, being secured up in a certain way. So it would reset the right way. It's lived in my bunk. It's lived in his bunk. It's lived in the back lounge, you know, for a couple of days till the glue fully set. And, you know, we put it back together and, we get to the machine shop and I hand him back the guitar and I'm like, well, so Dave, let's not do that again. You know, we've replaced the strap that broke in half. Mind you, you know, my big joke with anytime something like that happens, I'm like sign it, selling the merch. So, you know, I'm sure somewhere out there, there's a video on it of YouTube or whatever, or someone probably bought the guitar strap. You know, this is the guitar strap that almost broke this guitar. But yeah, so, but it was just that whole thing happened. And, you know, Dave, he'll tell everyone the story to this day. It's like, you know, well, Tom's a badass, you know, we thought this guitar was dead, you know, neck whole completely broken off. And, well, it plays better than it did before. You know, I'm like, you want me to repaint the neck? You want me to do it? No, man. He goes, glory's forever. Chicks dig scars. And I was like, this guy, you know? Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, so that was one of those, again, something I had learned how to do over the pandemic that I never really thought I'd ever have to use. But sure enough, here we are, you know,
yep.
Here I am on a bus, you know, with a guitar and pressure clamps in my bunk, you know, drying because, you know, failure happened, but it's little things like that. I mean, so, you know. But yeah, that was one of the skills I learned. But yeah, you know, there's a bunch of funny reels that, you know, if you want to cut away to those during post editing, that'd be really funny to cut to.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Nice. So let's talk about, let's talk about some of your hobbies and stuff. So, you know, on the side, when you're not doing the music stuff and you're not doing guitar stuff, what do you like? What's your passion? What's your thing?
So, well, I mean, aside from, you know, drinking copious amounts of coffee, and, you know, talking to my friends on, you know, Zoom, when I'm home, you know, I like to hang out with my kids. You know, it's pretty funny. My son, I bring him home all these shirts from all the bands that I tour with. So he wears these to school. So I have to be very mindful. He's going to be 15. So yep. my daughter's 18. So she is a whole other thing for her. But my son is 15. So his school teachers are actually fans of some of the bands that I work for. You know, and they're like, well, that's pretty cool. You know, your dad, where's your dad right now? Oh, he's in Europe. Well, that's pretty neat. And my son's like, yeah. Yeah, he's working with some band over there right now. Like,
yep.
My loser dad, you know.
But, I mean, I know how it goes, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. What is that? Is that a Bad Wolf shirt you're wearing? And he's like, yeah, you know, or Ginger. You know, so he's got all these shirts. It's kind of funny, but, you know, so it's just kind of, it's interesting to me that, you know, he's that tree only shook. You know, I mean, that apple didn't fart very far, put it that way. So I'm home. I like to hang out with my kids. As far as my hobbies go, so, I am kind of nerdy with stuff, as you can tell, you know, at the, I like to play with things, you know, electrical. Clearly that's why I like to fix guitars and amplifiers, but I'm a collector of things. Let's see here. Let's grab the iPad here.
All right.
You can kind of see us in the background there, but you know, I got some
power. Oh, damn, Rangers. Dude. Yeah.
You know?
Damn.
Let's see. Oh, you know, I don't mess around. Let's see if we can let's flip this around here. That's a Kiss magazine.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's the Kiss comic book from the 70s. That was actually made with their blood. So that's right, yep. Yeah, that's one of those. I have a very collective personality. So I like to do things along the lines of that, but you know, I'm an avid Rubik's Cuber. So funny story how I got into Rubik's Cubing. As anyone who has seen a Pop Evil video, preferably Breathe Again, knows how much the love of the Rubik's Cube goes to the Pop Evil camp. Yep. You know, some camps like to play with yo-yos, other camps like to do basketball, but we like the Rubik's Cube. So I took it upon myself on the last tour. I was like, well, I'll be damned. I'm going to fucking learn how to do this, you know? And, so it became a thing. Lee showed us kind of how to do it. Lee is really good with the Rubik's Cube. Really good. I mean, he can do it with his eyes closed kind of deal. So Lee bought me a Rubik's Cube and I sat there just kind of, we go in my bunk, shut the curtain, and put on like a YouTube video and kind of tinker with it. Then Dave figured it out. And, you know, I'd leave my Rubik's Cube on my bunk. And I'd walk by and I'd see it solved. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, and then you hear Dave. And you hear Dave laughing and Lee laughing. And it's like, all right. You know, so the entire tour, you know, I like learn step by step by step by step. Then I went on the Ginger tour. And I mean, some of those flights were long flights, you know, flying from Rhode Island to Los Angeles is a pretty far flight. So again, I kind of took out what I had had up to that point and went, all right, I got a long flight. Let's figure this out. So I did. I ultimately figured it out. And then when I went out in, what was it, April, after I did the Bad Wolves tour, I did the one off of Pop Evil in San Antonio. And I had a speed cube at this point. So Lee and I sat down. I was like, Lee, you got to check out this Rubik's Cube, dude. And he's like, oh, man, look at that. So, you know, I do it real quick in front of him. And he's like, oh, man, you're getting real fast at that. You know, so, you know, but yeah. So definitely I'm a super nerd when it comes to that kind of stuff.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do that. Let's see here. I do a lot of computer stuff. You know, I think I drive my family nuts. I mine Bitcoin at my house.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yep.
You know, which if people don't know how to do that, it's, there are special machines and computers that are built to do that. So yeah, I do that. They're very loud. It's like a, you know, luckily the room I'm in right now has got some soundproofing in it. You can't hear the machines running, but yeah. I have several Bitcoin miners running in my house. So
nice.
You know, the electric company loves me, but yeah. Oh, so yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely a nerd with stuff, you know, on that level.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yeah, I like to tinker with stuff like that, though, which, I mean, like I said, some of those machines are pretty, you know, they're computers, so yeah, they all circuit boards and whatnot, so that allows me to, well, I don't want to rip apart an amplifier. I can rip apart a circuit board and figure out how that works, and if it breaks, how to fix it, so, awesome. You know, it's all good fun, man. It's all good fun, so,
yeah,
you know, yeah. Look at that, guitar technician, Power Rangers collector, super nerd. You know,
Rubik's Cube, you got it.
Rubik's Cubes, you know, I mean.
That's awesome, man. So you said you're going out again in a couple weeks to Europe.
So, yeah, I'm leaving, let's see here, next week. I'm leaving next Friday to go to Europe for 10 days with Suicide Silence.
Yep.
We're doing Hellfest. We're doing Grass Pop. Full Force, they got some side headline dates that they're doing. So that should be really fun. I mean, those dudes are coming back full swing and doing a bunch of stuff. I think they just announced an arena tour later this year with, I think, Lamb of God and Killswitch Engage. I think those guys are going. Yeah. So there's a bunch of big stuff going on for those guys this year, which I couldn't be happier for. I mean, those guys are amazing human beings and great friends of mine. So happy to help them out on this tour that they're coming out with over to Europe. And then I got some time off. It looks like there's some massive fall, you know, late spring, late summer, fall dates with festivals and whatnot for In This Moment. And then hopefully towards the end of the year, maybe we'll get Ginger back to the United States and I'll be back with them for some of those dates. So that's kind of what we're looking like right now. You know, we'll kind of see it. You know, I know In This Moment's going to, you know, will keep me pretty busy. So like I said, we're doing all the major festivals this year. So
nice. Wow, that'll be awesome. You know? Yeah. And I know a lot of bands haven't even announced their fall tours yet or anything like that.
There's some stuff, you know, coming up under the rug, you know, which will be announced, you know, sooner than later. Like I said, I mean, I'm pretty excited to do one of my big bucket list venues with, you know, some great friends. So I'm pretty excited about that. I've never gotten to do a show at Red Rocks. So I'm pretty excited to be able to do that. That's, all these years I've been on the road, I've never gotten to do a show at Red Rocks or go to a show at Red Rocks. So, you know, doing a show
within this moment.
Yeah. It's within this moment. Yep. They announced that, last week or the week before. So,
yep.
Awesome. You know, being able to do a show on, and they're headlining, I believe, as well. So, be able to do a show on that level with a band like that and such great people, you know, such a positive people to be around as well, is kind of, for me, it's going to be great to have that experience. So, I'm pretty excited for that.
What do you like to do on your days off when you're on the road?
So, my days off are, I'm an old man. In case, you know, there's always these stories about Guitar Tech Tom that float around. They're probably all true. So I am the old man on the bus. I'm the first one to sleep usually. You know, if you ever get a chance to interview Ross Landis from, Nothing More, he can tell you some really funny stories about how much of an old man I am. any of these guys will tell you, you know, they're like, oh man, it's 11:30 at night, Tom, geez, it's past your bedtime, you know, man, you know. So, but I'm also one of the first people awake on the bus. So, on a day off, my typical day off, you know, I'll sleep in. Maybe it'll be like 9 o'clock in the morning and I get out of my bunk. Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. But, days off, I usually like to spend, you know, I'll do my laundry. You know, maybe go to a Walmart kind of deal. If the hotel maybe has a hot tub in it, kind of do that. Other than that, I mean, a lot of it's, you know, I'll try to find something, you know, a couple of the crew guys or whatever, and, you know, if, we're allowed to, you know, if places are around or whatever, you know, kind of go to the mall, hang out, maybe go shoot some pool, stuff like that, you know, and a lot of it's just kind of spent, you know, in a hotel, basically, you know,
right.
Doing laundry and, you know, I mean, to some of these, And people always, man, being on tour must be crazy. What are you doing? I'm like, folding my fucking laundry. What are you doing? You know, I mean, that's usually my days off are spent doing that. You know, I try to, FaceTime home, stuff like that, talk to my kids. I mean, average day off. I mean, it's kind of, you know, my Saturdays are a lot different than someone else's. So, nothing special, man. I mean, like I said, my days off are pretty chill, you know. Some guys, when they go on tour, Justin, the drum tech from Pop Evil, he was a taco guy. So, and when he goes on tour, Justin likes to find where the greatest tacos are.
Yep.
Me, when I go on tour, I'm the burger guy. I'm like, oh man, I could tell you where the best burger from, you know, Boston to San Francisco is. So that's what I try to do. You know, if I get off the bus and finish folding my laundry and have enough time in the day, you know, I'll ask a local, hey, what's the best burger in town? You know, you don't ask people in the front lobby of the hotel or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go to Walmart and find, you know, Grandfather Dan or whatever and say, hey man, I got a question for you. Best burger in the radius. What do you got? And that guy probably knows the answer. That's usually what I do on my days off.
Nice. Well, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I've actually been wanting to do this for a long time, and you know, finally we've kind of synced up on it.
It's crazy, man. I mean, this has been what, like 2 years in the making now, and then my tour schedule finally lines up. I got a couple of weeks off. So
yeah. And you know, getting to hang out with you guys at the show recently and all this stuff. So it's really cool. I'm hoping you guys get to my venue. I don't know if you know, I work for the Bank of New Hampshire Pavilion. I think last time you were there was probably with Poison when you guys Pop Evil.
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe? Way back when. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know for you. I don't know. I don't think maybe you've been there anyways. Yeah. So hopefully you get to back to my venue at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully we get back there.
Dude, it's awesome that you did this. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, man. No, it's been a blast, man. I guess I know we've been trying to figure this out for a while.
And, yeah.
You know, finally I got a break in my tour schedule. And, it's been a wild few months, I'll tell you what.
You know? Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So where do people find you on socials? Are you, you know, do you like giving out your socials at all? Anybody want to learn about your cover band, anything?
All social media is at Guitar Tech Tom. Also, I probably made it pretty easy for everyone to do that. You can do that. You can shoot me a message, and I usually respond. And I have guitar picks that I give to people and stuff like that, as we all know. So that's that. Let's see here. The cover band is Squelch Rocks, at Squelch Rocks across all social media. We'll actually be up your way later in July.
Okay.
We're gonna be up in Maine doing let's see here, what is it? We do the Sunday River every year up in Maine. We do New Year's every year up there. I think we are gonna be up your way. Actually not your way, you're closer to Portland, but we'll be at Mount Abram doing that in middle of July. I guess they have all the big mountain biking stuff like that. So we're gonna be up there that weekend, and which is a first for us. We've never actually gotten to play a ski resort in the summertime. And I guess that area of Maine is just as busy in the summer as it is in the winter. So we're pretty excited about that. We're one of the first bands that has actually gotten to do that. So
yeah, it's pretty excited good time for up that. There. Yeah.
That'd yeah. Be really I've never been up to that part of the state that time of the year. So I'm pretty excited about it. So,
If I'm not booked, I'll do my best to try to get there.
Come hang out, man. Yeah, you know, if you're around New Year's Eve, you know, you want to have a real good time. You know, we'll be up at the Matterhorn Ski Bar up at Sunday River.
Do some photos for you.
Yeah, come hang out with us, have a good time. You know,
definitely.
We bring in a big production up there, so.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. That's awesome. Are you open for guitar work for anybody, or is that just strictly national?
I am open for guitar work. I do have a Facebook page. I believe it's GTT Guitars and Amplifiers is the name of my business. You can Facebook that. I think if you just do at GTT Guitars, it'll pop up in a quick search with that. You know, obviously Guitar Tech Tom, GTT.
Yep.
So, nice. People can send me a message on there. I do accept repair work from people, you know, mail-ins and everything else too. So I have people as far away as Japan sending me guitars to repair. So
nice.
You know, as long as they're willing to wait, if I'm available and I'm home and I get it in time and back out, then I do. If they're willing to work around my tour schedule, I've had guys, you know, ship me guitars to venues, you know, to do a setup, and I spin them right back around and have them, you know,
wow.
I've done that. So, you know, nice. You know, I mean, you know, everything like that. So I, like I said, I enjoy what I do, and, you know, talk to anybody that wants to listen about, you know, guitars. So, you know,
nice.
I don't, nice. I don't mind talking someone's ear off about how to set up a guitar. So, someone told me once upon a time, knowledge is power. So,
absolutely. Yeah, and having the skills behind it, absolutely.
Oh yeah, you know. So I don't mind sharing the knowledge with people. I love it actually. So
nice. Well, thank you so much for doing this, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I've had a blast during having coffee time with you.
Nice. Hey, thanks for watching this episode with Tom Reardon. We hope you enjoyed it. You can check out our other guests on our other episodes at all your favorite podcast locations on YouTube. Search for Tales from the Pit Podcast and at talesfromthepit.net. We'll see you next time.